Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet. And this is our Astro Inklings show. So you'll see that my right-hand person, I don't know if I'm on your right or your left, but you're on my right, is Tam Vayu of the Energy Almanac. Hello, Tam, and welcome.
Good morning. Here we go again, Janet.
Another month down. I can't believe it.
Over how fast these go by.
I know. I fully expected that you were going to show up in costume today.
Oh, you don't know me well enough yet. I don't do costumes very often.
Oh my gosh. I thought about it and then I went, no, I don't feel like going through that whole, you know, makeup thing and whatever. Plus I'd have to go looking for the costumes. So yeah. I didn't feel like doing that.
No.
But anyway, it is good to have you with me and talking all about what's happening for the month of November, which, as we were just talking behind the scenes, isn't explosive, but is not mild-mannered either. So right. How do we characterize it?
I think I asked you, like, do we see November as astro light? It's not astro light. There's a lot going on, but I guess I wasn't seeing it as like wildly impactful. And I think you're seeing it exactly the opposite. It's super impactful, even if it's more subtle, right? Or do you,
So, you know, when you're standing at the edge of the pool and you're anticipating the dive or jumping in and how cold or warm it might be, but someone comes up behind you and pushes you in and the decision is taken away from you, right? Splash. That's what I'm feeling like for November. It's that final push, and it's a time where maybe not the explosion, but, you know, a lot of jostling around, a lot of trying to avoid things perhaps that are coming anyway, and that push into the pool symbolizes what I think November is, right? It's pushing
the
us
push
over
into the pool. Keywords, themes that from the Energy Almanac, the 2024 Energy Almanac, confusion and delusion seems appropriate.
Yes, because I would say that in the midst of all of these things, there is this confusion. There's this state of which way are we going? You know, we have basically, this is more political looking, but we basically have two sides, and whatever country you're in, there's these two polarized sides. One side sees it going in the wrong direction and that they have the answer to that. And the other side sees it the same way. And how do you get two sides like that to meet up?
Right.
And that is a big problem throughout the whole of the world, not just the USA, although, you know, the USA seems to be emblematic of this problem at the moment.
Well said. I think the USA is emblematic of most, you know, how we go. We affect everybody else because, well, yeah, for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons. But that's how I see November. It's this push. And yeah, it gets crazy at times when that's happening. And my camera is falling. I don't know why. And at other times, you know, it can calm down and it can give us a moment to tune in to our intuition and so forth. And November's a month like that.
Yeah. Look, as we get ready to launch into what November is about, of course, we want to say good morning to everybody. But I also want to take a minute, if you don't mind, Janet, I want to describe to the audience about the new Energy Almanac here, but also here. In the Energy Almanac, and as we move into 2025, I want to talk to you about how you can use this podcast in particular to advance yourself and your understanding of planning and getting in flow with energy. We have a new resource page in the Energy Almanac, and it's called the Month at a Glance. That's probably reversed for everybody, but it says Month at a Glance.
I see it right.
Oh, okay, cool. So this page is one where at the beginning of every month, you're going to label your boxes with the correct number. For example, November 1st is a Friday. So 1, 2, 3, and so on through the rest of the month. But then after that, as you are listening to Janet and I talk about specific dates, this is where you make your note. So Janet and I are saying that November 18th is a green day. Find November 18th, use your green highlighter, highlight that. You know that that's going to be a day that will represent flow. It's going to be easy. A Green Day. On the other hand, if Janet is like,
that was a great band.
Oh, oh dear God, Mars is opposing Pluto around the 4th of November, and it's going to last for 3 days. Get your red marker, get your calendar, and find the 4th of November and highlight those days as red, which could represent uncomfortable. You're going to end up with a calendar that's kind of going to indicate when it could be bumpy, when it could be groovy and smooth and flow. So just a little tool for you. And I thought I would let you know about it now. In case you have a regular calendar you're using, you could do it then, but you could get in that habit of making the red and green notes. And I'll try to be mindful of using my little
stop and go.
So there you go. That is my, and by the way, do you like this? Do you like this book, Janet, with the coil?
Absolutely love it with the coil, because then when I want to write in it, it lays flat.
It lays perfectly flat, and you can fold it in half. And guess what? Janet, I've ordered 100 more coil bound books. I had sold out of the first run of books. So I've ordered 100 more books. If anybody who is listening wants to order these for family members for Christmas, there's only 100. Please let Janet know, or you can let me know, and we'll definitely reserve a book for you. It's going to take about 3 weeks for them to arrive to me, and then I'll start shipping them out.
Which is perfect, right? That puts us ever closer to the new year.
Yep.
The other thing about this, you know, having this calendar, is it becomes an easy guide for you, you know, a quick check-in. And I think as time goes on, maybe in December, I'll even show people how to put what their personal planets are for that day on this type of calendar, the big important things. Like, for example, Tam, you're a Virgo. So anything to do with Mercury, your ruling, the sun's ruling planet for you, might be something you'd want to notate, like Mercury going in retrograde in November, right? Totally. So you'd want to put that in there. Or because your rising sign, my brain went dead.
Is it Sag?
Sag. Okay. So Jupiter is also of major importance to you because it's the overall ruler of your chart. Mm-hmm. So anything big going on with Jupiter might be important for you. So I'd like to do that for people as we go through the month of December. We'll start playing a little bit more with the month at a glance. So it's actually meaningful for you on a personal basis.
I love that. That's a brilliant use of our time. And Janet, why would you want people to know about how to use the Energy Almanac so well? Tell me.
Well, because it's living astrology, right? You're living every day under the aspect patterns that are occurring in the bigger sky, but also the ones that are impacting you at the soul level or at your personal level, and how to live within the stream of that consciousness is so much better than living at cross purposes to it, right? So learning this, and I know it takes time. I know sometimes, and I get this feedback quite frequently, but I can't dumb myself down. I'm sorry. That this is a very complex subject. Mm-hmm. Astrology isn't like something that's one and done. Like, look at a book tonight, understand it, woo, I'm done. It just doesn't happen that way because you're living it day by day. And there are other things that come into play. So astrology is something that you really absorb over time.
Mm-hmm.
And come to know and love yourself in the context of your astrology over time. So give yourself a break. If you have no clue what I'm talking about, just breathe. Breathe yourself through it.
Right? It really does all come together one piece at a time. But Janet, I was actually poking you to reveal the big secret.
Oh, really?
Do it.
Well, okay. So Tam, which big secret, Tam? The one where we're turning time up on its head?
No, the other one.
The other big secret. Well, as we go into 2026 and in the years beyond, Tam and I have teamed up to be co-partners in the production of the Energy Almanac. And you don't see it on this year because 2025 was already written at the time we decided to do this. But in 2026 and beyond, I begin to take more and more responsibility along with Tam in not only the writing, but the production and the marketing and the getting out of the word around the Energy Almanac. And it feels like it's now a baby that two of us are sharing.
Exactly. We are co-parenting the Energy Almanac as we move forward. And Janet and I will start writing in December. And our partnership will go full on. And I, as the solo single parent for a long time, I'm so excited and so proud that I was finally able to reel her in and develop this partnership. And so you are going to see a lot of us together. And I am mucho grateful for Janet.
And I'm mucho excited. And as Tam knows, I have had a lot of reluctance around doing this because I don't know why. I was super excited and I wanted it all in. And then I kind of sat back and went, oh my God, I do not know what I'm doing in terms of a publishing of a book and blah, blah, blah. And then she reeled me back in. And now I'm just like, okay, so you learn something new, right? And there's something to be said about two creative people coming together, because I don't even know if I want to go into this, but I'm going to. Tam,
go ahead.
Tam and I decided that we are going to turn time on its head for 2026.
We are.
And I alluded to this on Monday's broadcast about this idea of, you know, the astrological year beginning at 0 degrees of Aries. And why in the flip would we have a calendar that starts on January 1st, where there's literally a dead zone, right? It's a dead zone astrologically.
Ooh.
You know, if you were going to start a calendar, why not at the winter solstice, if you're going to do it that way? But it makes much more sense for us now to write the almanac from the viewpoint of 0 degrees of Aries, which occurs March 21st or 22nd, depending on the year. And then write it seasonally, or it'll be a whole year, but it'll go from 0 degrees of Aries all the way through 29 degrees of Pisces and start again, which means.
Okay. So which means, oh, I love this so much, which means the 2026 Energy Almanac will begin on March 21st of 2026. Our almanac is going to join with the astro calendar because that's how it's supposed to be. You'll find an easier time learning astrology when we start with Aries, which is the first sign of the year in spring, in March. So we're super excited. What this means, and we'll talk about this another time, is that there'll be a little bridge book because we've got to cover January through March for 1 year. But in the future, this book is going to start, you're going to start reading your new almanac in March every year, moving yes. forward. And it's brilliant and it's perfect. And it's the old way of the future.
That's the old way. Absolutely. And what it does, you see, having a Gregorian calendar artificially put us out of the natural rhythm and
artificially.
Cycle. Yeah, artificially manipulated us to be out of sync with nature, out of sync with what was actually happening on a seasonal basis.
Correct.
And, you know, like I said, January 1 is arbitrary. There is no anything that you can, you know, sink your teeth into other than the fact that the Gregorian calendar says it's the first day of the year.
Right.
So why not start to put ourselves in the position of alignment with those natural times, the natural cycles of time?
The whole reason that we do this podcast is to help people get into rhythm with the astrology that's going on. Why not move the Energy Almanac to be in rhythm all the time? So we are going to lead the future. We have other exciting things to share, but we'll do that over time. I know we want to get into November, but thank you for finally letting the cat out of the bag that Janet is now going to co-parent the Energy Almanac with me. Woohoo!
Yeah, we've been sitting on that one for a while. And I've been wanting to say it, but originally we were going to wait until January, but why? I don't know. So, okay. And Pam says, will it have a human design graph of the planet movements for the month? Ooh. She's speaking my language.
We will talk about all the, we've got ideas brewing that it's probably going to knock your socks off. Sharon Little's asking about Ayurvedic seasonal tips. And I actually had one entire book with all of that in it. And I'm going to see if I can poke that writer again, because I love that stuff too. Very seasonal tips.
Yes.
We've got a lot to unpack around how this is going to change, and it's just going to amplify the book to the next level. And I don't know if Janet has told this audience or not, but the book is very, very truly international. We now have Canadian distribution, Indian distribution, France, Germany, UK, New Zealand, Australia. If you know people in other countries, please make sure you share the book. We're still going to do Western astrology. We're not going to use the
13th.
Sorry.
Sidereal.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that too at times, because it's an important piece. So. The whole idea is for us to rearrange ourselves around living in tandem with natural cycles of time, as opposed to some kind of, you know, square. Really, it is almost a square between the old calendar and the one Love that we it. Currently use. So
beautiful.
Yeah. So, and we also have space considerations within the almanac. So we have to be very circumspect about what we write. And so your ideas, your input is so important, because if that's something that you really are interested in, then that's what we want to make sure we write about. So,
right. And we also can do supplementary little books as well that supplement the almanac, that we can do that. So we'll see how it's going to play out. But thank you for all the amazing ideas. I think, Janet, we better talk about the new moon that's happening on Friday.
Let's do, because this is an interesting new moon, as all the moons have been in, you know, the last year. It seems like there are some very tight conjunctions that are going on, or interactions between the moon and the planet Uranus. And of course, this new moon is no exception, with Uranus sitting at, not new moon, I'm sorry, that's the full moon. Forget about what I just said. Forget that. The new moon is occurring at 9 degrees, 35 minutes of Scorpio. Mm-hmm. And it makes it a very powerful moon for transformational purposes. So what do you want to transform in your life, right? It happens at 5:47 a.m. Pacific time, and 8:47 a.m. for those of you on the East Coast, and 12:47 p.m. for the European Universal Time Zone, which means we're all experiencing it on the same day. I like it when that happens. It's easier for me to explain to someone why it's not happening on November 1st and 2nd. And this one is a trine. That's where it was. It's a trine to Saturn. Yep. So there's this, you know, beautiful, harmonious blend of depth and emotional intelligence, or resilience, perhaps, with a steady approach to the changes that are happening within our lives, but also within our society and culture. So it's a regenerative kind of new moon, as Scorpio is a sign of regeneration, sort of the whole death and rebirth process. And so it becomes a time that's ideal for setting intentions that are both emotionally meaningful for you, and also practical ability to be achieved practically, let's say. Mm-hmm. So the dynamic itself is pretty powerful. Oh, I know what else I was going to say about this moon. This one is happening at the gate 44 in human design. The gate 44 is a fear of the past repeating itself. It's about patterns. And so I think this new moon really ties us into the recognition of patterns in our lives. I even woke up thinking about this morning, not the gate 44, but about patterns that have been repeating in my life. And I was tying it to, say, like quarter cycles of Saturn. And then I went, you know what, I don't need to know what the exact cycle is that's repeating, but that some patterns are repeating from the past. And, you know, what patterns in the past do is they trigger you when you start to see information, or you observe things that are happening in your life that are about the same as what happened before. And you start to predict, oh, now there's going to be this, you know, financial blow up, this health problem, this career change. And of course, that creates fear. So the gate 44 is about the fear of the past. And this new moon at that gate gives us an opportunity to kind of clean up and transform those old patterns so that we can move on creating what's new, what's exciting, and what's possible, and what will help us thrive versus just surviving. Love those glasses.
Oh, thanks. I love them too. I'm looking at, I pulled up the chart for this moon, and I'm looking at Mars opposite Pluto. Want to go there?
We can go there. That's actually exact on the 3rd, but it looks pretty darn close already.
Right. On my chart, on my moon chart, it's showing it as available right there.
Yeah, it's 29:04 as of the new moon, and yeah. Pluto 29:45. So they're both in the 29th degree.
Yep.
And to me, this is something that it makes this is the month. This is the reason why at the beginning of the show, I said, you know, it's like when someone pushes you into the pool. Yeah. The surprise, the shock that of, you know, jumping in, because Pluto across from Mars is kind of explosive that way. Mm. It would be even, you know, more explosive if this was happening in, say, Leo, where Mars is moving later that day, mm-hmm. when he would be in fire, but instead he's in water. And at 29 Cancer, or Pluto's at 29 Capricorn, Mars at 29 Cancer. So what we get more of is this emotional power struggle that is happening. It's a dynamic that, you know, isn't an easy one for us to deal with because it's so powerful. And it turns out that the power struggles and control issues are sort of happening between us as individuals, Mars as an individual planet, and the structures and forms and governments, like, for example, in institutions that have been formed and even the ones that have been crushing down during Pluto's transit through Capricorn. So it can be intensely emotional. It can also be intensely emotionally releasing.
So I think we were in the green room before the show and we talked about this, the timing. So the moon is on the 1st, you're saying it's exact on the 3rd. Are we relating this at all to the election? I mean, let's be right up front with that.
Oh yeah. We can't help but do that. The election is on the 5th or the results we start to see on the 5th, because, like, you know, our state, we've already voted. There's this, like, reveal that will start to show up, right? The energy of Mars opposing Pluto is about crisis and a turning point. Mm. So what is that turning point? It's really associated with endings and transitions and critical moments in time, right? That kind of crystallize a time. So it's really about a signpost here that shows us about an intense turning point where personally, we may feel the pressure to make decisions or confront issues that have been sort of simmering below the surface. But also, it's a pivotal moment for addressing conflicts. And what else can we say about this election? It is contentious in the run-up to it. Uh-huh. It'll be contentious the day of and the day after and mm-hmm. likely months after.
And think about this. Like, we're talking about Mars currently in Cancer, but going to switch into Leo, and imagine everybody who wants their expression to be heard and how aggressive that could become if we're not careful and mindful. So again, like, if we were going to use this, I would give it a little red. Be cautious in how you manage yourself. We'll say it like that. Manage yourself in the way you express as things are shifting, because Pluto is, and especially at that degree, right? There's yeah. going to be some kind of a big hit. Big, I yeah, like
it. It is a big deal when planets are in opposition to one another at the 29th degree, an anaretic or karmic degree. So, you know, not to scare people,
no,
but this is a time for us to be really clear about what we want, what we desire, and following your own heart, in your own, the government, the bigger picture, it's out of our control, really, except for what we can do as our vote, let's say, or that right. type of thing. But the die is cast in some respects, because we are in these big cycles of time that are are transforming us from the Capricorn age, looking to the past and the things that have been built on the past that don't last, to now looking at the future and what can we change about ourselves and our structures and forms that can stand the test of time. So it's a whole big deal because we have lived for the last 200 and some years, since 248, since the in the USA, since the Revolutionary War, and all of the symbols of that, what we were fighting for as a country. And that was when Pluto was in Aquarius. Mm. And now we are looking at Pluto moving into Aquarius. So we're seeing, you know, the things that can't be sustained moving into that whole new cycle. Mm. So it's huge. I mean, there aren't really words to talk about how huge it is. And for us to be here living on this planet at this time, as we're about to go through this huge turning point or crisis.
I say that to my husband every morning over coffee. I'll hold my coffee and go, I can't believe we're alive right now. This is amazing.
No, so I want people to understand that this opposition, Mars is a catalyst,
yeah,
right? He catalyzes things. So he starts the ball rolling, mm-hmm, and it can be the potential for constructive change.
Sure.
This doesn't have to be horrible. I mean, some people just, you know, no, I don't want it to be changed. As long as we're not doing that, we should be fine. So how do we navigate Mars opposing Pluto? I think that's a good question. And the first thing is recognize control dynamics that you are enacting on others or that you have become inadvertently a part of. And notice where you're holding on to control out of a fear of something, a fear of letting go, or the fear of, you know, something, the fear of change is basically what I think comes down to. So then use emotional awareness for empowered action. 29 degrees of Cancer is about emotional resilience and emotional awareness. And use that to guide you in taking authentic action in your own life, and assertive steps toward security or your own authority, and how you want to address areas where you feel vulnerable rather than falling into fear and closing up shop. Open up the heart, right? And be more emotionally resilient and embrace transformative change, right? Many times in this world, we've gone through times of authoritarian regimes that have given way to more democratic regimes. And then here we are looking at, you know, across the world, this more authoritarian approach that that seems to be taking hold in some ways. And that too will lead us into a new sense of what freedom means, right? Yeah. That, again, freedom is a big word here.
Freedom is.
And, yeah. And have patience, right? Have patience, be discerning, watch what you say and how you say what you say to people.
Wherever there's Mars, like seek patience. Slow down. Quick question. Like, let's let them mark red days, November 2nd through 5th, November 2nd through 4th. What do you want to say?
Well, on my calendar, the 1st and the 2nd are green. The 3rd is red. And then the 4th is green. The 5th is red. The 6th is green. The 7th is neutral after that until the 10th. So I would say just that first week, those first 7 days or so of this month, I mean, of November, are a little wonky.
Wonky.
And it sets the stage for what's to come.
Right.
So, yes. You know, and I have bigger, wider concerns for the world, right? When we're looking at things like nuclear events or these watershed moments we seem to be having. And I mean, literal water moments of floodings and things like that. And just remember, that's kind of the noise in the background. I'm not saying ignore it, but I am saying keep it in its context and just keep doing from your point of view what it is that you're here to do. Know your purpose, know what you do well, and live from that point, even if it is a little wonky. And it, you know, could be.
And it could be, for sure. What's next?
Well, one thing we skipped on the second is Mercury's move into Sagittarius. Oh,
Yes, that's right.
So I want to talk. Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit, because Mercury in Sagittarius is not in his favorite place, and then he's going to retrograde in Sagittarius. Mm. So everybody needs to know that we're entering slowly into the retrograde zone that starts on the 7th, actually, of November.
Yep.
But Mercury in Sagittarius is expansive and optimistic, so we have reason to think bigger and see things maybe beyond. You know, just what it is our eyes are seeing, you know, mm-hmm. there's something bigger going on, mm-hmm. but Mercury in Sagittarius also has a truth seeking.
Exactly. That's the part that always makes me giggle, like, uh-oh, here comes all the truth.
Right. Or not, or the, you know, people right. like, right. you know, saying, no, that's not true. Right. You know, questioning all right. of that. But when Mercury's energy shifts into this, it's about exploring new, bigger ideas, broadening your perspective, seeing things from the higher perspective, right? Not just the limited, what can my eyes, ears, right. nose, mouth see, hair, taste, touch, but what's going on from that more spiritual dimension. And so it is a time for us to broaden our horizons in some way. Just one last thought before I let you go with this. There's also this very positive thing called mutual reception happening. Mm-hmm. with Mercury in Sagittarius, because that means Mercury is going through Jupiter's territory while Jupiter is transiting through Gemini, which is Mercury territory. So mm-hmm. the planets are in, you know, this mutual reception, which means right. they're kind of going to work well together.
Right. I think of it as the words that always come to mind for Mercury and Sag is like rapid fire. Like, I feel like the thoughts happen fast. They're big and they're coming out and you're sharing and it's social. And I think of it as a very, like, I imagine the mind just going faster where Jupiter, yeah. that Jupiter or Sag energy magnifies things.
Yes, it does. But it also brings more direct and honest communication.
Right. Oh, yeah, very. Like right. that arrow, boom, direct.
Yeah. So while that can be a really good thing, right, for transparency and for, you know, living in truth, it can also hurt people's feelings if you become blunt yep. and hurtful yep. with your words. So make sure you're not using words as swords or, you know, right. weapons. But making sure that you're direct and honest in all of your communication. There is a risk of overlooking details when you're so big, right? When you're so much out here in the broader scope of things, you can miss the tiny little pieces. So watch out for that. And Mercury in retrograde in this sign will even exacerbate that, right? right? That means that there's a bigger opportunity that we will miss the details, right? Yeah. The devil's in the details. But let's not forget that Mercury in Sagittarius or Sagittarius as a sign is also about our beliefs mm-hmm. and our philosophies
totally.
And the bigger truths, if you will. That Sagittarian arrow is pointed at the heart of the galaxy, or the heart of the galactic center. It is pointed at the real truth, not the fake truths, not the false news, not the fake narratives and the he said, she said. It's at the real truth of what's happening, which is sometimes very hard to pin down.
I think a smart use of Mercury in Sag retrograde is taking the time to really analyze and look at your beliefs. I mean, this is where you really have an opportunity to go in and say, why do I believe that? Especially if we're getting some revelatory information, perhaps, that might come from either the moon triggering it or the Mars-Pluto thing. If revelatory information comes out and it goes against the grain of your typical belief system, this is a nice opportunity to say, why have I always believed that? Use the retrograde wisely and
dare to ask the deeper questions. Right?
Yeah, ask the deeper questions. Maybe a new point of view is in order, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's also the benefit of seeing things from another person's perspective.
Oh, put absolutely. Yourself,
you know, if I put myself in Tam's shoes, who lives completely on the other side of the nation from me, and I look back, what does that look like? And I don't have to believe like Tam, I don't have to be like Tam, but at least I could understand Tam, mm-hmm. right? So understanding and looking at how it is that we can, you know, be very circumspect in how we speak to one another, and looking at our own beliefs, because everything we say and do is based on our belief systems.
Absolutely.
Whether you believe that or not, it is the truth, right? Mm-hmm. Making the most of Mercury in Sagittarius, just being honest, being direct, but with an invitation is what I would say in human design. We don't just tell people bluntly that, you know, blah, blah, blah is happening and you look terrible in that, or you know, whatever.
Ask permission.
Ask permission. May I share this with you?
Yes.
Wait. Set ambitious goals. It is a really good time because we're seeing that bigger picture.
Yep.
Set goals for, you know, your, wherever Sagittarius is in your personal chart by house, that would be the area of life where all of this can be realized, or where you can take direct, you know, action on goals. Be mindful of overgeneralizations, right? Mm-hmm. You just can't, you know, that broad expanse of thinking, seeing the bigger picture, misses the details, right? Can miss the details. And so remember that if you're having deep discussions with people, you don't want to, you know, overgeneralize what's happening. And
Hold on, let me just stop for a second right there. Overgeneralizing. When you start a sentence with always, I always, you always, every time, those are words that are generalizing an idea. Be mindful about that and catch yourself. That's a little coaching tip for you. Whenever I have somebody who says, oh, that always happens to me. I never seem to. Never is a generalization and not the truth. So again, we're in truth-telling season. Be honest with yourself.
Be honest with yourself. And then just remember that as we get to the end of the month, Mercury actually retrogrades. Mm-hmm. So he'll be in Sagittarius. I believe he's at the 22nd degree at that point in time and retrogrades back to the 6th degree, which means that when he turns direct in December, he is covering that whole, just about the whole sign of Sagittarius again. So that'll put us into January before we clear this Mercury retrograde cycle. So, just be aware that this is going to be the rest of the year and mm-hmm. into January energy. Now, there was a question, Tam, in from Pam that says, is your information on the 29 degree Cancer a Sabian thing? No, it wasn't. But that made me go, okay, let's look at the Sabian symbols. And that is coming from my book, An Astrological Mandala by Dane Rudyar. Or anybody, you can look up the Sabian symbols, and the Sabian symbols were created, channeled essentially, for each degree of the zodiac, right? So when we're looking at a 29th degree in the Sabian symbol, we're actually looking at 0 degrees of the next sign. So we're bridging two karmic degrees here. So I just looked at, I just closed it, of course. So Mars will be at what in this book will be, 30 degrees of Cancer. Sorry. And it says, remember the whole discussion about the Revolutionary War and all of that? The verbiage is a daughter of the American Revolution. And its keynote is the prestige and conservatism of a long maintained heritage. So here we have a symbol of the proud preservation of sociocultural values in a tradition. Woo, right? So we've got Mars stimulating that tradition. What is this tradition? And in the end, this is about the glorification of the past. All right, but Mars was only part of the equation. If we look at Pluto in Capricorn at the 29th degree, giving us a secret meeting of men responsible for executive decisions in world affairs. And the keynote is the power to assume responsibility for crucial choices arrived at after mature discussion with those who share this power. And the culmination here is about executive power.
Wow. That couldn't be any more spot on.
Yowza. Yeah.
Wow. That one blew my mind more so than the daughter of the Revolutionary War. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So Pluto changing the nature of executive power and Mars bringing up our glorification of the past. What is worth keeping? What is not worth keeping?
Oh, it's fascinating.
Woohoo. Okay. Let's move on to, well, we talked about Mercury entering the retrograde zone, and that happens on the 7th and until the 25th, and when he actually turns retrograde. And I don't know about you, Tam, but I always find that time in the shadow to be the wonkiest for me. How about you?
Oh, yeah, super clunky. I tend to find it super clunky at the end of it. The closer toward the retrograde?
Yeah. Or are you talking about the shadow after the
retrograde? Shadow after.
Yeah. It depends on what sign it's in. And of course, I'm a Gemini, so this puts it opposite of my sun.
Right.
And actually, it doesn't go quite that far. So my sun is probably going to be breathing a sigh of relief. And the energy, though, of the retrograde is sometimes more pronounced in the pre-run and in the post-run. But don't discount those couple of weeks, 3 weeks that he is in retrograde either. It's a very long-term time, but for us to go inward, right? To be able to reassess or reimagine, evaluate, whatever it is that we can do from a more inner world expression.
Mm.
Yeah. All right.
We got 20 minutes to cover the rest of the month there, friend.
Yes, but there's not that much left. We could go to Venus in Capricorn. That happens on the 11th, 11-11. And, you know, Venus in Capricorn she always, when she gets into Capricorn, she reminds me of, there was a video, I think it was back in the 80s, and the song was Simply Irresistible.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and all the women in the back with their guitars and their, you know,
that's what Venus, the whole thing.
Yeah, Venus in Capricorn always reminds me of that for some reason, right? So it's funny. Femininity, but in her business.
Right. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. Now she'll be in Capricorn from November 11th until December 6th.
Yep.
So just almost a month.
Yep.
And the theme, of course, because Venus rules relationships and we put her in a sign of structure and form and business, means that we are really committing, looking at the commitment to our long-term relationships.
Mm. It's the seriousness inside of relationships, right?
Yeah, it's the more business aspect, the agreement, the contract,
right.
That we have.
Yes. Ooh, good one.
Yeah. And I think because Venus rules partnerships, Venus rules those agreements and commitments, that it's a great time for us to take a look at how we might streamline those commitments. Is there, you know, some degree of change that needs to happen within that relationship that would be more, that would, you know, better structure it in terms of, you know, what we've agreed to do in together, typically in our romantic relationships when it is Venus, but because she's in Capricorn, our business relationships are also a part of that.
Would you say in this, under this influence, that joint money might be, like how we use and structure our money might be at play? Those conversations?
I think there's a big conversation that can be had around financial discipline and security at this period of time, because Capricorn is a sign that is associated with ambition and drive, right?
Yeah.
And practicality. It's an earth sign. Mm-hmm. And Venus here places that spotlight on financial responsibility.
Right.
So being fiscally responsible, maybe a time of budgeting or, you know, plugging the leaks in your budgets and things like that. It's an ideal time to review finances, right?
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it comes at the end of the calendar year, right? That, you know, toward the end. So maybe setting yourself up for a better, you know, financial 2025.
Yep. Or not spending the Christmas budget the first week of shopping.
Right. Or even making a Christmas budget, because I've never done
actually
that.
Having a Christmas budget. There you go.
Right. Have a Christmas budget. I'm only going to spend X number of dollars. And that means I have to be very careful if I have 20 people to buy for and I'm only spending $1,000. That's, you know.
So, hey, we have a question that I think you need to answer before we advance. Christina is saying, I'm confused about Mercury retrograde. Is it from November 25 to December 15? Shadows before and after? And the answer is yes.
Yes, it is. Actually, you're very good. That's right. I don't think I gave you the dates, Christine.
You weren't confused at all, Christine.
Yeah. And then I missed a question by Bill Holt. Which planet is the antagonist through late January 2025? I gotta his thought is Pluto, and I would say yes on that, but I would also say Mars.
Yeah.
Mars.
Yep. Yep.
Mars. And because Mars, you know, he ties up action, right? When he's in retrograde.
Yep.
So he turns retrograde December 6th. So that's just outside of the purview of this webinar today, but coming soon, you know, he will be in retrograde and be
in Leo. Oh yeah, that's going to be tricky.
But he won't be in Leo all that long, right? Then he moves back into Cancer and spends, you know, the rest of his retrograde in Cancer. So and he's been in Cancer already for quite the time. So yeah. And you got to remember the USA by, you know, most accounts is a Cancer.
Right. That's true. Good point.
Sun sign Cancer. So Mars in Cancer is going to take the actions to the people.
Yeah.
Right. And people power. So we'll see how that plays out. Okay. What else about Venus in Capricorn?
Let's go to the moon. We've only got 15. Let's go to the moon.
Okay, good. So what up? What up the moon?
Full moon in Taurus. I also have that as the same day that Saturn is stationing.
It is. Saturn stations at 5:09 a.m. And the full moon is in the afternoon. So just several, you know, a few hours before the full moon, Saturn stations. And anytime a planet stations, either direct or retrograde, things are wobbly, wonky, upset, upside down, crazy. What else can we say? And then you add a full moon on top of that.
Yeah.
So Saturn direct. Now, so Saturn has been retrograde for the last 5 months maybe. Mm-hmm. And the key themes of Saturn turning direct, we're dealing with that first because the moon comes after, is really going to be about turning spiritual insights into practical action. What have those inner visionary things that have been occurring for you over the last 4 or 5 months going to turn into practical action in the outer world? This is what Saturn direct does. It takes it and moves the inner inklings into the outer world. And remember, it's about boundaries, right? Boundary Saturn in boundarylessness of Pisces. So in some ways, Saturn is trying to put form and structure around those things that we can't always pin down, like air or like water or like just the idea of spirit, right? Ether. So but we still need to consider, where are we boundaryless and we need to enact some boundaries, or where have we been too stringent in boundaries and where can we relax some? There's a lot we could say about just Saturn direct. But now with it in the full moon in Taurus, which is the one that's conjunct Uranus in Taurus, like by a degree, like they're very close to one another. And it's also in a semi sextile to Eris. Eris, the goddess of discord, is in Aries, the god of war's territory. And she is in a tricky position with that full moon. So we have discord. And we have upset, we have the unexpected, we have the aha moment, the revelation, all coming together. And I think this full moon then is a very contentious day, all in all.
Oh, here we go.
Stop. Red. It's a red day. Even though it's black on my calendar, I don't know who thought that one up, because literally it is a day that is possibly, you know, going to be revelatory in some way. So I'm thinking like USA election. Is there something that comes up around the 15th that brings an end to the speculation of something, or, you know, some hard, or does it begin a whole nother, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how that actually plays out.
Endings are beginnings. So it could be either way, right?
Yeah. And you know, that very next day, the sun comes into exact opposition with Uranus. So it's activated there at the full moon, but it takes, you know, a couple more days for that to still play out, as the sun is only moving a degree a day.
I mean, I know that the moon is personal. The sun is personal. Uranus is societal or generational.
Generational.
And Taurus I'm thinking the economy is something. Can something let go right there? I mean, really? I mean, Uranus is involved. I mean, and you look at the economy, everything is falling apart. Like, yikes.
Well, I mean, there's been a very slow change over the course of time of Uranus's transit here in Taurus, because Taurus is a fixed sign and it doesn't change on a dime.
It's been fussy about change.
It's been fussy about it, right? But anytime Uranus is going to come into a connection with another planet in Taurus, it's going to give us insights and possible breakthroughs in some way, shape, or form.
Sure.
And there was unexpected good economic news today about the economy growing 2.8%, which they didn't expect and did happen. So that throws a monkey wrench into things, right? That things are going okay economically. So does this moon do a different one? And then we see it's contracted. So we don't know. But what we can say is that the full-on passage of Uranus through Taurus has been about liberating ourselves from outdated money and economic cycles. So we have to do something new because they're not working. It's not working, right? So and because Taurus is ruled by Venus, we're also looking at our values. What mm-hmm. are our values? Mm-hmm. And it's a potent time then all the way around for us to, I think somehow in this country and likely all around the world, that we are not living in alignment with our stated values.
Totally.
Right. And you can't, if that's not sustainable, that is not a sustainable way to live in a marketplace or to live in general. So we have change on the horizon, innovation and a different way of engaging with the economy or
let's look at Uranus as it relates to the sun, opposing the sun, right? Sun represents leader. I just keep thinking, like, to me, this our current system is going to break at some point soon. I mean, everything is leading up to it. And I'm just wondering, like, a leader, maybe somebody, maybe an announcement, you know?
Well, I was just listening to a video before you and I came to talk this morning. And the guy is like, you know, he's not into UFOs or UAPs as they call them now, but he's really thinking that with the Pluto's move into Aquarius and in the next year, some very big revelations around the technologies of other worlds and how we are involved with that. And it's just fascinating to think about because we become more galactic, and that could be something that we see as a result of the age of air, you know, with Pluto and Aquarius and so forth. So, you know, a lot of things have to break down though, still in order for us to do that, or break through in order for us to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Eris involved with this full moon, it's likely going to be some kind of confrontation. What does that look like? I cannot predict what it's going to look like, but I can tell you that, you know, if we look back 10 years from now at this period of time and how money plays out, how the economy plays out, how the US dollar plays out, or how the BRICS nations or the other EU, how all of that plays out, I think it'll be a complete different format that we're looking at. So
totally. I've been watching the development of cryptocurrencies for a dozen years now, and it's just been remarkable over the last 10 years in particular, how they have just grown in enthusiasm by the masses, people accepting them. Yeah. And now, gosh, we're using them for cross-border payments at international banking levels. It's incredible and very, very exciting to see. And I think Uranus has done its job inside of Taurus.
Yeah,
even though Taurus, I mean, we've gone kicking and screaming. The masses have gone kicking and screaming toward it, but it's happening. It's just exciting. Yeah.
It's exciting, but it's also a little scary because, of course, anytime we change into something new, then it's tempting for the government and other people to come in and try to control it, right? And manipulate it. So we have to be mindful of the potential for all of that. And essentially what Uranus would say is to liberate ourselves from that level of control. He's the liberator, right? Yeah. So how to make the most of the full moon is really going to be about examining where you are resistant to change and innovation, and where, you know, you have like dug your heels in and said, no, not me, right? Like I was an early investor in cryptocurrencies, like right at the very beginning. But so many people are like, yeah, no, like my son-in-law, he's like, yeah, no, it's not going to last. Mm-hmm. But he's a Taurus too.
There you go. No, I totally see it taking over.
Right. Dragging his feet. But eventually, you know, it is where we're headed. And, you know, the technology behind it, blockchain technology, holds the key for a lot of things.
It sure does. And it does. Blockchain is everything for our future. For everything.
I think so
for
too.
Voting, for everything.
Yeah. It's more secure, more stable. Totally. And yeah, can we harness its energy, you know, for good? Yeah. I want to bring up one other thing is this idea about clean energy, right? Mm-hmm. Right now we're hearing a lot about, you know, the lithium mining and how that is so terrible to the environment. Yet if we want to run clean energy electrically, then lithium is a part of that. But what people haven't really been paying attention to is this idea of nuclear fusion as opposed to nuclear fission.
Right.
Nuclear fission is explosive and lots of problems, but nuclear fusion, they've already done that in a very limited way. And I feel like our future around sustainability, which is a very Taurian theme, is on its way in during Pluto in Aquarius as well.
Yep.
So we have lots of big changes that are happening, and they tend to happen in fits and starts.
Yeah.
So, you know, and thankfully, right? Because if we changed everything today to cryptocurrency, what do we do with all the dollars?
Yeah.
What do we do with all the coins, right? We need to be able to do these things incrementally.
Sure.
But it starts with your mindset. It starts with your belief patterns and things like that.
Totally.
So, with the full moon, again, going back to that, stand up for your values, right? This is an important theme, as Taurus is the sign of your values, our relationships, and our money. Expect the unexpected.
Yep. That's probably the number one thing under this moon. Expect the unexpected. With Uranus so involved in this one, I agree. Highly.
Yeah. Just expect the unexpected and release any attachments that you have to comfort zones. I think we're going to be in a very discomfort zone for the foreseeable future. And yet, you know, there are moments, I think the opportunity is to create a new stability. What does a new, stable, secure world look like?
Mm-hmm. And what if we all dream into that? That's a yummy exercise to do under that moon. What does stability look like? Not just for me, but for my community, for my country, for the world. I love that, Janet.
Yeah. And that takes time to come through. I mean, Pluto is going to be in Aquarius until 2044 now, right? Pluto. When November 19th, he moves into Aquarius for the last, you know, pass of his going through Capricorn. And there's a transformation of social structures and collective power that is occurring, has been occurring, as a result of Pluto's transit through Capricorn, that will bear out as we start to really move into these next 20 years.
Sure.
And, but there's a lot of technological innovation, but we can't do that without ethical considerations.
Absolutely.
And I think that's the piece right now. All this technology is so exciting and AI and blah, 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 you know, but have we really looked at the ethics behind it? So that's another theme coming up, you know, over the long term. But grappling with that is something that we can't afford to pass by. We have to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, revolutionizing individuality and freedom.
Yeah.
What is that?
Ooh, right.
Aquarius does value individuality and self-expression, but here's the key, is that it empowers and individualizes the margins, the outer margins, and moves them so more into the center.
Right.
So, you know, we're going to hear more about the thing, the ideas, the fringe, the fringes. So maybe I'll start a fad by wearing fringed clothing. you know, like the hippie style, right? The leather. Let's do it. Environmental and humanitarian reform, big one on the horizon through this particular transit. What does that look like? Because we're a globe now, and, you know, the global economy, the global considerations that we have to take in almost everything that we do, resource distribution, social justice, all on the agenda. Revolutions going on in science and in space. I fully expect we're going to hit Mars, you know, anytime soon here. But I think the biggest thing that might impact us each is the breaking down and the rebuilding of what societal norms are. Mm-hmm. And by that, it's like family structures and traditional roles and, you know, being more open to new ways of connecting and relating to one another and building communities. Because
absolutely,
it's the community level that is empowered during the next 20 years. It is the grassroots movements that are empowered over the next 20 years. And that brings, you know, innovative ideas of what it, how we work together, how we live together. So it's big.
Yep. It's big.
And it's nine. So November, while not an explosive, in your face fire kind of energy, it does have a feeling of being pushed over the edge, pushed into the water.
Pushed into the pool. Yeah.
And that means, you know, we're all, you know, ready to make some changes. So we are doing that at the Energy Almanac. We're doing that to the calendar. So we are ready.
There's so many changes. Before we go, and I know we talked a lot about the Energy Almanac more than normal. We need reviews. If you're a person who has bought the Energy Almanac, we need reviews at Amazon. So if, even if you've bought it through me, through my website, theenergyalmanac.com, go to Amazon and leave a review of your thoughts about this book. And that would be so helpful for us.
Yay. That's a great idea. Helps us move up in the standings. And I saw that we were already like
a bestseller.
Yeah.
We made it into the bestseller category for journals and almanacs. That's a really, really big deal. Not easy to do. So that means we got it under the number 100. We were actually, we got down as low as number 47 out of the hundreds and probably thousands of almanacs available. And journals, we did it. So that was a big deal. And thank you all for helping get me there.
Yay. Yes. Well, primarily you that year, except for I wrote. So everybody out there, if you could do this for us too, hit the thumbs up button if you are on Facebook and, or I mean on YouTube. And if you are on Facebook, hit the like button and please share the video with your friends, with your networks.
What's our next date together?
It looks like we would be together November 27th.
All right.
Now that's the day before Thanksgiving, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
That works. It still works for me.
Me too. Absolutely.
I'm not going out of town. I'm staying around home.
Yeah. I'll put the turkey in. No, I won't. I'll brine the turkey that day and then come. And then I'll see you on the podcast.
We brine ours too. So that always turns out so tasty. So anyway, we'll see you guys all on the 27th for the next Energy Almanac or Astro Inkling, sorry. And I will see you all on Friday and we'll dive further into what's going on for the weekend. Thanks everybody for joining us. Thank you, Tam. It's great to see you. Bye for now.
Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Gene Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.